week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Friday's show, world football's governing body FIFA releases its latest rankings. Comoros reaches a new high. Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, analyzes this week's UEFA Champions League matches. Also, it's been a successful year for South Africa's national women's cricket team. Myron Nyka will have a report, plus much more coming up on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the national men's football team from Comoros, which is celebrating its highest ever position in the FIFA rankings. The Islanders moved up 9 places to 119th overall and 30th in Africa after beating Ghana and the Central African Republic in 2026 World Cup qualifying matches. It was the biggest move by any team in the world in the latest FIFA rankings. Taking a look at the top 10 African teams, the Atlas Lions of Morocco are number one on the continent and 13th overall. Another pride of Lions, the Lions of Teranga of Senegal, are second in Africa and 20th overall. Tunisia, Algeria, and Egypt are ranked 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Africa. And rounding out the top 10, Nigeria is 6th, Cameroon is 7th, Ivory Coast is 8th, Mali 9th, and Burkina Faso 10th. Those 10 highest-ranked African teams I just mentioned will all compete at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which kicks off in Ivory Coast in 43 days. In European club football, there's only one more round of group stage matches in the UEFA Champions League competition. So far, 12 teams are locked into the round of 16 knockout phase. For a look at some of the highlights in this week's Champions League matches, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
It was another round of exciting soccer hostilities in Europe as some of Europe's top soccer clubs came once again together to give the fans what they love enjoying on the big nights of European football. There were lots of impressive individual performances. How are we not going to talk about the only hat-trick hero of the match round, which was Benfica's João Mário, who scored a treble in that 3-3 draw with last year's betting finalist Inter Milan. Also, there were some other impressive performances from individuals. You will not forget to mention likes of Marco Reus, of Borussia Dortmund, Jude Bellingham, of Real Madrid, and Phil Foden of Manchester City, who all had a goal and assist each to help their teams to very good victories or important results on their respective nights. Yes, there were also impressive team performances like that of Arsenal, who had 6 different goal scorers in the 6-0 annihilation of RC Lens at the Emirates Stadium. Real Madrid also were imperious in their 4-2 destruction of Napoli in Spain. There were also some important comebacks, some dramatic comebacks by clubs, including the reigning champions Manchester City, who came from 2 goals down at halftime to defeat their opponents 3-2 at the Etihad Stadium, RB Leipzig. Now they are the 2 already qualified teams from that group, and it was really an exciting game of football. And how am I not going to mention that Inter Milan game once again, where the last year's betting finalists came from 3-0 down to rescue a 3-3 draw away in that particular match. 3-0 down at halftime in Portugal, and guess what? They channeled their fantastic spirit, their tenacious ability to ensure that they got fantastic point in that one. So that's the story on Tuesday and Wednesday. Lots of eye-catching performances. We also had a very great goalkeeping display for RB Salzburg's goalkeeper, Anton Schandler, who was magnificent in their goalless draw away at Real Sociedad.
16 games were played on UEFA Champions League, matched the 5 games. Kindly tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners the teams that made it to the round of 16.
The 6 previous teams that have qualified for this round of 16 include reigning champions Manchester City, who have a 100% record, 5 wins out of 5, same record as record champions Real Madrid with 14 titles. They also have a 100% record, 5 wins out of 5 already in the round of 16, are also Bayern Munich, Real Sociedad, last year's beating finalists Inter Milan and RB Leipzig of Germany. The remaining 5 that just joined in this round of matches include former champions Barcelona, who won at home to FC Porto, and this time they will be joined by Borussia Dortmund, who secured a massive away win at AC Milan, Lazio, who had Ciro Immobile scoring a brace in their home win, as well as Atletico Madrid and English giants Arsenal, who I talked earlier annihilated Arsenal of France. We have some games which will be like winner takes all encounters on match day 6, and that will include that between Napoli and Sporting Braga. Whoever wins the game goes through to the round of 16, most definitely, although Napoli will advance with just a draw in that game. There are also other teams within the periphery of qualification, and they just need bare minimum results in the final round to have their place in the round of 16.
Fesayo, what's your take on the performance of African players for their clubs during UEFA Champions League round of 5 games?
There were a few African goals in this round of the UEFA Champions League, and the most outstanding, and of course the most talked about one among them, has to be that of Hakim Ziyech, the Moroccan international, playing his club football with Galatasaray in Turkey. The former Chelsea winger scored twice, both free kicks, as his side rescued a 3-3 draw against Manchester United, the English giants. Galatasaray were 2-0 down within the first 20 minutes of play, but Ziyech brought them back into it with a curling free kick in the 29th minute. But at the start of the second half, United went 3-1 up again through Scott McTominay, but Ziyech once again fired home a free kick in the 62nd minute. And although a lot of people, of course, believe that Cameroonian goalkeeper Andre Onana of Manchester United should and could have actually done better with those free kicks, but that's not to take anything away from the brilliance of the kicks taken by Ziyech. Ziyech himself now provided the all-important equalizing goal for Galatasaray in the 71st minute, as they kept their qualification hopes for the round of 16 alive in that 3-3 draw. Two more Africans, one of them Ziyech's compatriot Youssef En-Nesyri, also scored for Sevilla in that their unfortunate 2-3 loss at home to PSV Eindhoven in Spain. Sevilla went 2-0 up in that game, but PSV came back at one of the impressive comebacks of this round, winning that 3-2. And the other African goal scorer on Wednesday night was Cameroonian midfielder Frank Zambo Anguissa, who scored for Napoli in that 2-4 loss away to Real Madrid. We kept their 100% record alive in this group stage of the Champions League. And we'll be waiting for the next 2 weeks, where we have another round of exciting action as usual in this level of soccer.
That's Fesayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fesayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fesayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of African news. For world news, go to voanews.com. It's been a successful year for South Africa's national women's cricket team. On home soil, the South African ladies finished as runners-up in the ICC T20 World Cup, losing out to Australia in a pulsating final. The South African women also enjoyed success against Pakistan away from home and against New Zealand on home soil. The Proteas will round off their year against Bangladesh in a series which begins this Sunday. Myron Nika reports from Durban. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What a year it's been for South Africa's national women's cricket team. They're currently ranked third in the world in one-day international cricket and fifth in the T20 format. Coach Hilton Moring looks back on the year fondly while preparing his team for their final assignment for 2023, a multi-format home series against Bangladesh. He's picked a young team with veterans like Shabnim Ismail, Dane Fanny Kerk and Trisha Chetty calling time on their careers. Moring praised them for their contribution and is excited about building a new crop of players.
Yeah, I think with every team, you know that there's going to come a time where your nucleus will go. Most professional, experienced players, I think, like you see, is you always have those kind of players in the change room where you have those players that's transitioning into life after cricket. You have the ones that is now in their peak form and others is just starting. So we had the opportunity to work and see the talent that they have and what they've done for their country.
A massive banner with some of the South African players hangs outside Willamore Park, marketing the first T20 match against Bangladesh. Nonkululeko Mlaba, who's been one of the standout players this year, is featured. The left-arm spinner, who's now ranked second in the world in T20 cricket, comes from humble beginnings in the KwaZulu-Natal region. She ranks 2023 as her best year since she made her debut back in 2019.
Yeah, this year has been the best year for me so far. I think especially in my cricket career, I've done well this past year, and I've done things that I've never thought I would do. Honestly, it's been a great year for me. I'm very happy of me growing, especially in the cricket environment. Just a lot has happened and good things happened.
In addition to the Proteas' success on the international circuit, the country's mother body, Cricket South Africa, also confirmed the establishment of a professional league. It's the first of its kind for women cricketers on the African continent. Moring and Mlaba shared their thoughts.
I think they welcome that. It's always something that they always wanted to have in the country, because it's something that we felt we were lacking behind. As you look at the top four in world cricket, they have those kind of leagues, and they play as a professional. They can focus on cricket, and that's all they do. And we only had 14, at the most 15 cricketers that could do that in the country. So to have a bigger base of that, and also increase the coaches, medical staff, more people are getting involved, this means the system is becoming much healthier and much competitive, which is very good to see.
Oh, no, I think now things are going in the right path. After we made it to the final of the World Cup, I feel like things are changing, because even the provincial, they are professionals now. A lot is happening, and I see there's a potential of having our own league, SA20, of which they're still working on that, and that will be a great thing to have that, because most of us, we're not playing outside league, so it'll be a great experience for us as well. And yeah, I feel like the cricket, women's cricket is going to another level now.
This group of cricketers are determined to end the year on a high. 20-year-old Elise Marie Marks is a debutant in the team and represents a new wave of players coming into the setup. She plans to absorb as much as possible during the upcoming series.
Take as much information as I can from the senior players, especially the bowlers, and just enjoy myself. I think that's the most important thing. I think you can get caught up in the moment and then forget to enjoy yourself. So for me, it's just to enjoy myself, take as much information and be basically SpongeBob.
South Africa and Bangladesh will face off in a three-match T20 series, followed by a three-game ODI series. It's a chance for South Africa to end the year on a high and also blood a new group of youngsters into the team as they plan and prepare for 2024, which will see them head to Australia first up in January. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Samson Omale joins us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight with football. The CAF Champions League group stage matches makes a return this Friday as the race towards a place in the knockout stages of Accra's Premier Club competition heats up. Following their crushing 3-0 defeat to Al Ahly in Egypt last week, Ghana's Madema plays host to another North African side in Algeria's CL Belouizdad on Friday evening. Madema SC coach Evans Adote insists his team is fully focused on the CAF Champions League game against CD Belouizdad following their defeat to Al Ahly in the Group D opener.
The bus is gone away in Egypt last Friday and going into the last game. Most of the media wrote us off, counted us out, that it was impossible to encounter Al Ahly, especially at their own backyard. But me as a coach, I didn't motivate myself as well as my team. There was a hope that I was going to at least come back with a point, which we did until the 65th minute. That was where the disaster started coming.
In other fixtures, Al Hilal welcomed a high in confidence ES Tunis to Sudan. One of the Mapei fixtures of the weekend sees a high flying Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa travel to DR Congo to face TP Mazembe on Saturday for what promises to be a fierce Group A battle. Coach Rulani Mokwena of Sundowns describes the atmosphere in Lubumbashi as one that can be hostile and intimidating to any visiting team.
In my experiences, a little bit with the Champions League, they are probably three very, very hostile environments. And Lubumbashi is one of them. If it's not number one, it's number two in the top three. And so that's the biggest thing for us that we have to. But now we've played in Casablanca, we've played in Algeria, we've played in Cairo, and those were very hostile too.
Elsewhere, Giant Slayers joining Galaxy, who have raised some eyebrows across the continent following their shock away win over Wydad AC, will be looking at continuing their fairy tale run when they host Simba SC in Gaborone. Coach Katika Mazuzi of Simba SC expects a tough encounter against Galaxy.
It's a match difficult, very difficult because Galaxy win in Morocco against Wydad. It's a big score, big match. We go playing as we know, without tension, without We go to play, we go to win.
Later in the afternoon, Young Africans play host to reigning champions Al Ahly in Tanzania. Al Ahly's Egyptian counterparts Pyramids are also on the road to face a wounded Nader Bou in Mauritania, who suffered a 3-0 loss to Sundowns last Sunday. And now to women football. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have one foot in the 2024 Women's Africa Cup of Nations after seeing off Cape Verde 5-0 in the first leg of their final qualifying round in Abuja on Thursday. The Super Falcons had a bye into this round after Sao Tome and Principe's withdrawal. The Super Falcons will now focus on completing their qualification task in the return leg in Praia next Tuesday. Despite the huge win, Super Falcons standing captain Rashidat Ajibade believes the girls will have done better.
It's not the best game. We could be better because we know we've set a standard for ourselves. So we just have to keep building up on that standard. It's very important that you have youthful players on the team and you also have experienced player on the team, because eventually that's what makes the team. Because most of the time when you have so much youth player and there's no experience, sometimes experience beats youthfulness sometimes. So most of the time when we have the couple of those, you know, the youth and the experienced one on the team, it really helps.
In cricket news, Uganda will make their first appearance at a Cricket World Cup next year after qualifying on Thursday for the T20 tournament to be hosted by the West Indies and the United States. A 9-wicket win over Rwanda secured Uganda's second place in the African regional qualifying event, joining Namibia at the 2024 T20 World Cup while eliminating Zimbabwe from contention. Uganda bowled Rwanda out for just 65 and knocked off the runs in 8.1 overs to record their fifth win in six matches in Windhoek. Brian Masaba, captain of the Cricket Crane, says the qualification will improve Ugandan cricket going forward.
It's massive for Ugandan cricket. It opens a lot of doors for us. You know, we've shown the world that we can play. And hopefully that opens doors in terms of facilities and facilitation. And, you know, hopefully get more support from the government. I think we've shown that sports is a viable industry.
Namibia's Richelieu Eagles are en route to their third straight World Cup after beating Tanzania by 58 runs. Pierre de Boutien, head coach of the Richelieu Eagles, described the team's qualification for their third World Cup as well-deserved.
What makes it special is a group of players, coaching staff, everyone that believes in a very strong culture. Our culture is our driver, and I put it down to that. You know, it's a group of players that trains very hard, but to think about three World Cups in the last 4 years and qualifying for three World Cups in a row, I need to pinch myself, but I also know that it's well deserved.
Away from cricket now, South Africa and Nigeria canoe teams have qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. The two countries dominated the first Confederation of Africa canoe sprint and para canoe qualifiers for the 2024 Paris Olympics at the just concluded qualifying championships in Abuja. South Africa finished first on the medal table with a total of 8 gold medals and 1 bronze. Host Nigeria won a total of 9 medals, comprising 4 gold, 4 silver, and 1 bronze. Tunisia came third with a total of 15 medals, 3 gold, 5 silver, and 7 bronze medals. Kim Popley, president of the Canoeing Association of South Africa, said the canoeing sport in Africa is still developing.
It's a fantastic sport. It's very different for Africa, being a water-based sport. You know, we're not used to that. So we have to look at our National Olympic Committees. We've got to look at the IOC on the Olympic solidarity and private companies. You know, we've got to go and sell our stories.
In less than 100 days to go before the 13th African Games start Accra 2023, Ghana's Vice President Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, while speaking at the 100-day countdown to the Games, said about 5,000 athletes, 3,000 officials and 30,000 fans are expected in the country for the Games, which will be held between March 8th to March 23rd, 2024.
Indeed, our government sees the development, promotion and organization of sports, especially the African Games, as an investment for the future. The construction of modern sports facilities for the African Games is therefore a deliberate effort towards providing additional infrastructure to propel sports for development.
In basketball news, NBA Africa has announced that a new subsidiary has been established in Kenya with an office located in Westlands, Nairobi. The NBA Kenya office will support all of the league's business and basketball development initiatives in the country. Nairobi becomes NBA Africa's fifth office on the continent, joining Cairo in Egypt, Dakar, Senegal, Johannesburg in South Africa, and Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/VOA Sunny, you'll see a photo of the ribbon cutting ceremony at NBA Africa's new Nairobi office. Among those on hand for the ceremony was five-time NBA champion Ron Harper. 9 NBA games Thursday night in a matchup between California-based teams. The Golden State Warriors beat the visiting Los Angeles Clippers. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco, California.
Stephen Curry scored 26 points with 8 assists and 7 rebounds as the Warriors beat the Clippers 120-114. Warriors guard Klay Thompson scored 22 points.
It felt really good to get back on track, especially after a tough one we let slip away. And hopefully we build off it and go do the same thing in Los Angeles.
Golden State won despite the absence of Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, and Gary Payton II. The Clippers went 2-3, playing 5 games in 7 nights. In the loss, Kawhi Leonard scored 23 points, while James Harden and Ivica Zubac each had 18 points. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. From San Francisco, let's go to Chicago, where the Bulls beat the Milwaukee Bucks in overtime. Picking up the story, here's the AP's David Schuster.
Nikola Vucevic scored a game-high 29 points as the Bulls defeated the Bucks 120-113 in overtime.
That feels definitely great to get a win, especially after 5 losses in a row and the way the season's been going for us. But I'm very proud of how we competed tonight, how we fought. It wasn't perfect.
The Bulls fell behind 9-0 3 minutes into the contest and needed a 3-pointer from Alex Caruso at the end of regulation to send it into OT. The win snapped the 5-game losing skid by the Bulls and was just Milwaukee's second loss in their last 10 games. David Schuster, Chicago.
Thanks, David. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Atlanta Hawks guard Trae Young. No relation. Trae fired in 45 points Thursday night. He was the night's high scorer in the NBA as the Hawks edged the San Antonio Spurs 137-135.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the December 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I hope you all have a nice and sporty weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.